Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Q3 FY23 earnings conference call of Ircon International Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Mamta Samat from Perfect Relations Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Ms. Samat.
Thank you, Michelle. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Ircon International Limited Q3 FY23 analyst conference call. Today, we have with us the senior management represented by Srimati Ragini Advani, Director of Finance, Shri B. Muganthan, Chief Financial Officer and Executive Director of Finance. Before we begin, I would like to say that some of the statements that will be made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature. We will begin the call with the opening remarks from the management, after which we will have the forum open for the interactive Q&A session. I would now request Srimati Ragini Advani for the opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Yeah. Thank you, Mamta. Good afternoon, everyone. I am Ragini Advani, Director of Finance, Ircon, and I thank you for your presence today at the Ircon's earnings call for the Q3 FY23. I have with me Shri B. Muganthan, our Chief Finance Officer and ED Finance, and Shri Alan Roy Choudhury, my CGM Finance, in charge of compilation and accounts. We hope you've had a look at our detailed presentation that has already been uploaded on the stock exchange. The company, as you're aware, has performed very well in this quarter as well and recorded highest turnover for the third quarter. Ircon has recorded 36% growth in Q3 FY23 in operating turnover on standalone basis and about 33% growth on consolidated basis as compared to the same period of the last year. Our order book as at 31st December 2022 stands at rupees 38,023 crore, and it mainly consists of a 50/50% between nomination and competitive bidding orders. The orders are spread across railways, highways, solar power, et cetera. 92% of our order book comes from domestic orders and 8% is international. Railways has been the dominant sector for us, and it continues to contribute more than 90% of our operating revenue. The balance is mainly from highways. Ircon, as you all are aware, has 11 subsidiaries, 10 wholly owned, and this includes 9 road and highway SPVs. We also have joint venture companies, including 5 coal connectivity companies. As regards our financial performance for Q3 FY23, the company has outperformed its previous fiscal year-on-year performance. We have delivered a revenue of rupees 2,347 crore, which is 33% higher as compared to Q3 of FY22. The PAT number stood at rupees 190 crore in Q3 FY23. Again, about 40% higher as compared to the same period last year. EBITDA of the company has increased to rupees 233 crore, vis-a-vis rupees 221 crore for the corresponding quarter of the previous year. PBT almost remained flat. This was on account of some one-time adjustments. Earnings per share has gone up to about rupees 2.02 per equity share, as against rupees 1.44 per equity share for the quarter corresponding period of the last similar quarter for the last fiscal, and this is on a face value of rupees 2 per share. Board of directors have also approved an interim dividend of rupees 1.80 per share on the face value of rupees 2 per share. Without taking much time, I would like to open the floor for Q&A session now, please. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Swechha Jain from ANS Wealth. Please go ahead.
So thanks for giving this opportunity. My first question is, ma'am, if you could help us understand how many new orders that we got in Q3 and in 9 months.
So in Q3, we've had an order of about 122 crores. This is regarding an S&T project in Sri Lanka. And apart from that, in Q2, we had roughly about 330-odd crores. So the total orders that we secured in the nine-month period is about 453 crores.
Okay.
But that is, as we had suggested earlier, we are focusing on execution and focusing less on securing new orders as of now.
Right. So that's what I wanted to understand, you know, because we have an annual top line of around 9,000 crores, right?
Yes.
And the current order book is 38,000.
Yes.
And we are not focusing right now on getting new orders. So,
yeah.
So just want to understand then, how do we see the order book building up, you know, and why is it that we are not focusing on getting new orders?
Yeah, okay. So let me just put it in a slightly different perspective. So what we are saying is that, as you all are aware, there is a lot of focus on infrastructure development. The budget has been fairly pompous when it comes to the targets and the budgetary support that they've given for railways as well as other infrastructure. So the opportunities in the market are immense. Currently, we have tried over the last 2 years to build a niche within railways in certain areas. Mm-hmm. You know, so it is like, for example, we take pride in doing tunneling projects or fairly complex bridges. And also we, as you're aware, we've bagged some significant contracts for national high speed, the bullet train project, as well as certain other projects relating to NCRTC, and your metros as well as dedicated freight corridor. So those are projects which will also be coming in near future. And because these are niche projects, we would like to focus going forward in these kind of projects. We are continuing to also bid for the normal railway projects, but we do not want to pick them up against very squeezed profit margins. Because typically right now EPC projects are coming up and those two are also, some of them are little low ticket projects and therefore you have many such players who have bid for the projects and have become L1 who probably, I mean, in terms of pricing it is bit, it's too low. So that's a conscientious call we've taken right now.
Okay.
And we will be sprucing up our efforts in terms of getting more orders, but maybe towards the end of this financial year and mainly starting from the next financial year onwards.
Okay. So just to reiterate, we are consciously not bidding for the orders and that is why we are not able to add new orders. It is not that we are losing out the competition, right? Because our competitors, PSUs, are getting a lot of orders.
So what I'm saying is that the niche project in which we are interested, we are bidding out. In the projects which are low ticket, small scale, or the standard EPC projects, we've been little choosy this year, and because we can afford to. And then accordingly, depending upon what is going to be the inflow of bids in the coming quarter, as well as in the quarter of April to June, we shall be repositioning our marketing efforts and start getting more orders.
Okay. So, can you give some sense on what kind of, you know, pipeline bids we have in mind? Like any number if you can give me?
See, again, there are a lot of bids which are in pipeline by the government itself. But those projects have not yet been announced. So, it will not be fair for me to give you a number from them. And similarly, for international projects, again, we are looking at certain projects, but those are a little sensitive and, you know, projects.
Right.
So number is something which I'll be a little difficult to say right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we assure you we should be going forward. We should be able to get our good orders.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. My next question is, ma'am, you know, if I look at the presentation, our standalone core EBITDA margin for Q3, and even on a consolidated basis, you know, our margins have reduced substantially. So if you could help us understand why these margins have reduced, while our top line obviously has grown, you know, but the margins have, reduced substantially. And how do you see these margins in next coming quarters? You know, where do you see it settling down?
Okay. So again, as I mentioned in my opening remarks, we've had some one-time adjustment in our JV company. So this is a company called CERL. It's one of the coal connectivity projects. They've had some accounting adjustment entry in respect of depreciation, which has taken care, which has been affected this year but pertains to previous years as well. So that one-off entry has affected my consolidated results, and because of which I've had my EBITDA margins low as compared to the corresponding 9-month FY22. But if you were to see from an annual basis, it's about a 0.2% decline. 11.24 is what I had for FY22, my EBITDA margins, and right now it's 11.08. I'm talking on consolidated basis.
Yeah, but even on a standalone, our margins have gone down by 150.
Yeah, I'm just coming to that.
Yeah.
So as far as this is concerned, this is a one-off entry, and which we shall be taking care, which will obviously not get reflected from next quarter onwards. That would be a routine depreciation. As far as my standalone results are concerned, there are one or two, again, one-time entries that we've made on our projects in terms of certain expenses provisioning. And those were, again, something which was required from an accounting perspective, and they should not be carrying on into the next quarter. So from that perspective, we do hope to continue maintaining our margins. As we've been mentioning in our investor calls as well as analyst meets, it should be, EBITDA should be in the range of about 11%, and core EBITDA should be in the range of 8.5% to 9%.
Okay. This is on consol basis or standalone?
This is on consolidated basis.
Consol, no? Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And can I take one more question, then I'll join the follow-up queue?
Yeah, please move ahead.
Okay. So other thing I wanted to understand was, our profit before tax on a standalone basis is close to 212 crores. Okay. But on a consol basis, this is substantially lower by 25 to 30 crores. So I wanted to understand, is that the subsidiaries making losses?
Yeah.
And, so a quarterly run rate of 25 to 30 crores loss is what our subsidiaries are making currently.
No. Right? So this is not a, see, again, as I'm, there are two things there. At a PBT level, when you're talking, we have also taken into account, are you talking on a standalone or on a consolidated basis?
If I compare the standalone and the consolidated profit, right?
So what happens is, I have a negative share of the joint venture which is sitting there, which is because of the reason I mentioned to you right now, that there's been a change in depreciation policy. The second thing is that, there are certain entries which get knocked off between the standalone and consolidated. So what happens is that on the revenue line, it gets knocked off, while from the other side, it could be a item after PAT if they're paying dividend, for example. So those are the issues because of which this ambiguity is there if you were to look at a quarter number. So it should, this does not mean that my subsidiaries and my joint ventures combined are giving me a loss. My joint ventures was a one-off entry. My subsidiaries on an overall basis will continue to be giving decent results as they've been giving till last quarter.
Okay.
So this is more of that one-off entry issue that has happened.
Okay. So subsidiaries currently are EBITDA positive?
Yeah,
and,
on a cumulative
PBT
basis.
Positive? Okay.
Yeah.
And PBT positive also?
Yeah.
Okay. So I still fail to understand that standalone PBT is 212 crores. And consol PBT is 178 crores, right, ma'am? So we have a difference of 34 crores between the PBT at consol and standalone basis.
Yeah. So out of 178, if you will note, 9 crores is on account of share and loss of joint ventures.
Right.
Yeah, so it makes it 186. As far as 186 is concerned, the difference between 186 and the standalone number is because the revenue gets knocked off.
Okay.
Between,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so which is what I was trying to explain to you. So if there is a, like my, one of my joint ventures, Ircon Soma Tollway, they've given me a dividend this year, this quarter. Now that dividend is getting knocked off my other income in the numerator. And so it's affecting my PBT in console. But from standalone perspective, that number was sitting in my other income.
Okay, okay. So, yeah. Okay. So that means we are not making a substantial loss on a quarterly basis.
No. That's what I'm telling you. That's not the case. Understood. In fact, we've had good dividends because of which this figure is getting in consolidated. It's getting negated.
Understood. Okay, ma'am. So thank you so much. I have few more questions. I'll rejoin the queue. Thanks.
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Maheshwari from Skyridge Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my questions. Ma'am, my first question is regarding order bidding. Ma'am, if you could guide for FY24, what quantum of bidding are we planning in both railways and highways?
So we would be bidding, as I mentioned earlier, in both these areas. We are specifically focusing on railway projects going ahead as well. But it will be very difficult for me to give you a number. All we can say is that, yeah, we are hopeful that we'll be able to continue having decent order books going forward. And the kind of turnovers that we maintain, we should be able to do it from a long-term perspective as well.
Okay, thank you. Ma'am, second question regarding the 2.4 lakh crore budget allocation that the FM had given to railways. Ma'am, how much of it falls under the services that we provide? What I mean is, does 2.4 lakh crore also include the Vande Bharat trains and, train manufacturing, metro manufacturing, or is it only EPC work?
No, it's combined.
Okay.
So it has obviously Vande Bharat trains also, procurements also. But it does include doubling, electrifications, setting up of new lines. So it's a combined thing. I think my CFO will give more insight into it.
Okay. Yeah, I think if you see the railway budget, about 60,000 crores is towards doing the gauge conversion, doubling and other works. So there are other portions which are going towards Vande Bharat and other works. So about 60,000 to 70,000 is the figure which would be there for which we are eligible to compete.
Okay. Thank you. And we are also competitively bidding now for highway projects, right? Ki we are focusing more towards railways right now.
So we are bidding for highway projects, but as you are aware, we have already taken in last year four new highway projects. And there was another one just few months before that. So we would be also, see, at the end of it can't be just procurement because there is also this focus on execution. And you have to deliver it within the time, as you're well aware, especially in case of highway projects. Mm. And therefore, we will be focusing more on railway projects. We will be focusing on highway, but maybe little less because we have these four new projects in, which we need to start now. We've already done their financial closures and we need to now focus on their execution.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. And ma'am, two more questions. Ma'am, regarding steel and cement prices, any fall there, does it help or you have to pass on the cost decreases to the customer?
Generally, we have a pass-through mechanism only. If there is a variation, we have a price variation clause, so a price adjustment clause, both with the client and as with the our subcontractor. So generally, it's a pass-through mechanism.
Okay. One last question. So, ideally, Q4 is the quarter where we book a large component of our revenue. I mean, Q4 is generally much better relative to other quarters. You think we'll be able to cross 10,000 crore this year because we have already done around 6,600 crore?
We estimate we should be in the range of 9,000 to 9,500. We may not cross 10,000. It would actually depend on the execution efforts which really happen. And as we are all aware, government is pushing all infrastructure projects. So, yeah, it could be true. But our own analysis is close to 9 to 9,500 crores.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. That's it from me. All the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan Mehta from Nirzar Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you, ma'am, for the opportunity. I just have two questions. So first one is, will the closure of JV company, that is Indian Railway Stations Development Corporation, have any material impact on our financials? And have we already done some provisioning for this? And second is, we have got several subsidiaries and JV companies. So can you please throw some light on their business model and also on their return ratios? And also, are we looking for any divestment of stake in these companies?
Okay, so starting with your first question, as far as IRSDC is concerned, the Railway Ministry has asked for its closure and handing over of its business as well as assets to RLDA. But the decision which was taken was it is cumulative, it has positive reserves and surplus. And whatever assets and liabilities are there, the decision has been taken that the value will not be less than the book value at which these assets will be taken over by RLDA. There are certain valuations which are involved, but they are also on the positive side. So there's been no provisioning requirement per se, but that number has not got finalized. And as and when that number gets finalized, it should only give us an upside in our balance sheet. So that's okay. The first part. Now, as far as the second part is concerned regarding JVs and subsidiaries, we basically have SPVs for our road highway projects. There are 9 of these. There is one which is solar JV that we have, or a subsidiary we can say, IRPL. And then we have 5 coal connectivity projects, which are again with one of the subsidiaries of Coal India, where we are a 26% equity holder and 64% is by that Coal India subsidiary, and another 10% is by the local government, the state government, or one of its entities. So there are 5 coal connectivity projects, 9 roadway highway projects, 1 renewable project, 1 IRSDC which is under closure, and there is another company called IISL which is our 100% subsidiary and which mainly does a lot of maintenance and PMC related work, and this is again a profit making entity of ours. So that's the broad split in terms of our SPVs, subsidiaries and JVs. As regards our profitability, see, some of these projects are under construction, some of these have just begun, and some of them are declared commercial, but probably it's been a year or two. So for all these projects, the feasibility reports gives us good returns. The actual returns will start flowing in. As regards one of our JV, ISTPL, which is in road or highway, that has been giving us profit as well as good dividends. And for coal connectivity projects, again, most of them are right now under the construction stage or they've just begun their operations. So we do expect profits out of them in a year or 2 years' time. You know, there is this period where everyone needs to kind of stabilize. But we don't foresee any of these having any kind of impairments.
Okay. So in 1 or 2 years, we expect some profits from most of these companies.
Yes, yes. The ones which will get operation, we will expect profit after 1 or 2 years. The ones which are in construction, obviously, they will only make profit after their COD is in place and they've stabilized their operations.
Okay. Okay.
But we are pretty confident on this part. So, yeah, let us go forward and see. It should turn out the way we are expecting.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Thanks a lot, ma'am. That was very helpful.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Oswal from Nirmal Bang Securities Private Limited. Please call ahead. Mr. Oswal, I have unmuted your line. Kindly proceed with your question.
Yeah. My question on this one-off thing on the standalone and the consolidated basis. So can you quantify the number for the same, both the consolidated and the standalone?
Yeah, so in consolidated, it's 20 crores. The effect that has happened. And in standalone also, it's roughly about 20 crores.
20 crores. And secondly, how do you see the growth for the next financial year, given the pipeline and the, now we saw the union budget also where the capex for the railway and the overall capex requirement has gone up significantly. So how do you see the FY24 in terms of top line and order inflow? Any initial thoughts on that?
Yeah, so as far as the top line is concerned, we've always maintained that we should be growing our top line for FY24. We have a good order book. There is also, most of our projects are going to be peaking in that year. And therefore, we do expect an improvement in our turnover. If we say we would be doing this year between 9-9.5, it should be about 5-10% increase next year. As regards fresh order book is concerned, order secure is concerned, as I've mentioned earlier as well, we shall be refocusing on it from end of March or April onwards, and we should be able to get orders going forward, which should sustain the kind of turnover that we are doing currently.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
The next question is from the line of Viraj from Jupiter Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, ma'am, and congratulations for the good numbers.
Thank you.
Ma'am, my question is, say for the next year, would we grow at the same level of the sales growth of around 35% and the PAT margin of 8%? Is it sustainable?
See, the operating revenue number will grow, but obviously not by that kind of a percentage. We're already at a 9,000-9,500 crore turnover is what we are seeing for this FY. So next year should be another 5-10% increase on that. In terms of our profitability margins, we should be sustaining our FY22 profitability margin numbers.
So that 8% margin looks like sustainable, right?
Yeah, yes, yes, yes. 8% you're referring to core EBITDA or what are you referring
PAT,
to?
PAT margin. Your presentation says that you have some...
So PAT margins would be about 7.5-8%, yes.
Yeah, that is sustainable. And, this railway budget is a such a huge budget. So we don't see any some great growth coming from that. Is it, there's no, what is your sense?
Yeah, so it gives us a lot of opportunity. But, the budget is announced. Then they're going to have probably some detailed scheming under it. They will be taking out decisions in terms of what they'll give under EPC and what under PPP. So there's a lot of working which is continuously happening at railways and they keep coming out with tenders. We do expect some big ticket niche tenders now coming out, which is where our strength lies, and those are the ones we will like picking up next year.
And ma'am, in this high-rail speed corridor, what are we doing? Are we the part of some bullet train project or something like on Vande Bharat or what? If you can give some sense on that.
So in high speed is the bullet train project. And we are basically laying the tracks for it. Ours is the main work. We are quite a significant order book comes from there, yes. We'll be one of the pioneers to do it in India with the Japanese technology, on the basis of which should there be more bullet trains and all these kind of projects coming up, we'll definitely have the experience to handle them.
So, can you give some color on this? Like, what would be the size of orders and the margins we would enjoy in this? I understand that will be on nomination basis, right? Not on competition basis.
No. We won this on a competition basis. This is a separate company, so National High Speed, and they took out a tender and we won it on a nomination basis. We have an order book of close to about 5,000 plus 1,200, about 6,200 crores out of this project.
And the margins would be higher for this kind of project. Is that correct to think?
No, the margins would be, a lot, because this is Japanese technology, things would be done for the first time. The margins at an overall level would be similar to what we are maintaining at a company level. But since this project is right now somewhere, it has just started. So, we will have to wait and watch and see how it proceeds. But yeah, overall, as we are maintaining with this project also, we should be able to get the margins that we are getting at a company level. There won't be higher margins because this is it's a competitive bidding project.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it for my time. Thank you and all the best, ma'am.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press *1 now. We have the next question from the line of Hiten Boricha from Joinery Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for the opportunity, ma'am. I have a couple of bookkeeping question as well as a clarification question. So, ma'am, my first question is on the one-off which you mentioned, 20 crore. Can you help me to understand in which line item you have provided this?
So, consolidated results, this would be affecting my project expenses. This is for the standalone. And in the consolidated, it is anyway getting affected in my overall share of JV. There is a separate line which appears, right? PBT out of JV companies.
Correct, yeah.
That is where it is getting affected.
Okay. And my second question is, ma'am, you mentioned we will do a margin of 8.5%, 11%. That's on EBITDA level or that's on PAT level for FY23?
11% is at EBITDA level.
11%.
Yes, 11%. And at PAT level, gentlemen, before you had asked, so we said we'll be able to do about 7.5% to 8%.
Okay. So the reason I am asking this question, ma'am, because suppose if we are doing a 9,000 crore ka top line and if we'll do a margin of around 11%, that brings me to EBITDA of around roughly around 1,000 crore, right? So suppose if we want to do 1,000 crore EBITDA in FY23, will have to do around 450-470 kind of EBITDA in Q4. So just want to understand, is Q4 our best quarter or how this is going to work?
See, you already have an EBITDA for 9 months of 753 crores. I'm talking everything on consolidated basis.
Okay.
You already have 753 and we are talking of a 990 crore.
753, I mean, ma'am, if you are including other income in this?
Yeah, so that is EBITDA. That's why I'm maintaining EBITDA margins. We have a concept of core EBITDA, if that's what you're getting confused with.
Okay, my bad, ma'am.
Yeah. I had mentioned that the core EBITDA would be in the levels of about 8.5.
Okay, ma'am. My bad. Actually, I was excluding the other income from this.
All right, okay.
Just to reconfirm, ma'am, we will do 8.5% PAT margin in FY23 as well as in FY24.
No. 7.5 to 8 PAT margin.
Yes.
8.5 core EBITDA.
Mm-hmm.
10 to 11 EBITDA.
Understood, ma'am. Yeah. Thank you so much, ma'am.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question at this time. The next question is from the line of Shreyans Mehta from Equirus Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I joined a bit late, so maybe my questions would be a bit repetitive. So ma'am, what has changed over one quarter, you know, that we are revising our guidance as far as the revenue is concerned? That's one. Second, you know, even if I adjust for the 20 odd crores one-off, still, you know, my margins are below what we had guided for.
Okay, so first thing is we are not reducing our overall revenue. I do not know how you get that impression. We have only outperformed whatever we have always expected as far as our total income or operating revenue goes. As regards
what I recollect, we had given a guidance of 9,500 to 10,000 odd crores.
Yeah, so again, I had said about 9,000 to 9,500 for this year, and we'll be happy if we cross 10,000, and that is exactly what I've maintained in this call also, and we'll be doing it.
But even if I have to achieve, you know, 9,500. And if I see the quarterly, you know, I mean, we are talking about doing. Even to achieve 9,500, we are talking to do around 3,300 odd crores for fourth quarter.
We are already at 6,700, and we will, we should be about 3,000 crore plus in the fourth quarter.
Okay, ma'am, because, I mean, historically, you know, 3Q versus 4Q, it's majorly, you know, a jump of, say, around 20-30%, whereas third quarter we've done around 2,200. So just trying to reconcile that.
Yeah, so overall, as I maintain again, we will be in the range of 9,000 to 9,500 crores. on a console basis. Whatever numbers I've been giving has always been on a console basis.
Right.
And as far as next year is concerned, it should be beyond that, of course. And for that, we continue to maintain our numbers, and we are fairly confident about it. Now, as regards your profitability is concerned, we've had a one-off dip in this quarter because of two adjustments I've made. There is a 20 crore on a consolidated basis, and there is a 20 crore in a standalone basis. So the overall number impact is about 40 to 45 crores. Now, another 5 crores is because of PRP and certain other expenses. So,
right.
So I am saying that I've made two one-off adjustments, both in standalone as well as in consolidated, because of which the numbers have dipped. But we continue to maintain that for the year end, for the annual figures, our EBITDAs will be in the range of 11 to 11.5%. Our core EBITDAs will be about 8.5%, and our PAT will be about 7.5 to 8%.
Got it. Ma'am, so just to reconcile, you know, even if I adjust 20 odd crores, our
40 crores.
40, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Secondly, ma'am, in terms of, you know, if you could give us the cash and bank balance for of own fund, and also if you can help us with the revenues from our key projects.
So as far as my cash and bank own funds are concerned, they are in the range of 1100 crores.
Both put together.
Sorry?
Cash plus bank, both.
Yeah, yeah. Cash and bank balance.
Okay.
Okay, so they are in the range of about 1100 crores.
Mm-hmm.
As regards my profitability is concerned on different projects, I told you that all my JVs and SPVs are at different stages. You know, some of them are in construction and some of them have become operational. Overall perspective, I have a turnover of about a 300 crore addition in my turnover from my JVs and subsidiaries. And I have if you were to exclude the 20 crore one-off entry, then I have overall profits from my JVs and subsidiaries which are operational.
Got it. No, my question was, you know, the breakup of revenues project-wise, if you could highlight what is contributed during this quarter, like Sevak, Rangpo, Katra.
Are you talking about top 5 few projects which are contributing to my revenue?
Yes.
Okay, so I have my the JNK project that is giving me, now I'm telling you for a 9-month number or do you want a Q3 number?
Q3 would do.
Okay, so Q3 number, I have from JNK project about 620 crores.
Okay.
Then I have a Sevok Rangpo project. This is in Sikkim. That's about 540 crores. Then I have another 200 crores from DFCC project. And then I have a huge list of projects ranging from about 80 crores to going all the way down to whatever, some decimal numbers in crores.
Got it.
So I'll top three projects, yeah.
Got it. I'll take it offline. And lastly, in terms of our capex for the year, and how much investments have we done in 9 months and third quarter? For if you could break it in roads and the other SPVs.
So I have done a total of I have done invested about 70 crores in this quarter in form of my equity, quasi equity.
Mm-hmm.
And I have invested in 9 months period of roughly about 260 odd crores.
Okay, and for full year would be FY23 and 24?
FY23, I expect another 50 crores maybe is what I'll put in.
Okay.
And FY24 should be big numbers. I would say about 500 to 600 crores.
And any broad breakup between the SPV, road SPVs, how much into that and how much into the rails?
Okay, so when I'm saying as far as my highways are concerned, road SPVs, the 500 crores may say roughly about 400, 450 would be in highway projects only.
Okay.
And there would be about 50 to 100 crores in my JV projects.
So this, the JV projects includes the solar power, or that would be separate?
That would be, I've clubbed it with renewable. This would be more of coal JVs that I'm talking about.
Okay. So just to clarify, so the solar power capex, you know, I mean, that will be different. Is not a part of 500, 600 odd crores?
No. So I have to overall put in an equity of about quasi equity of about 900 crores.
Okay.
Going forward, okay. And it would be spread not just next year, a part of it could be even next to next year.
Right.
Out of that 900 crores, I'm saying roughly between 500 to 550 odd crores is what I expect we'll be spending next year.
Okay.
And that would be mainly in highway projects and partially in my renewable as well as coal JVs.
Okay. Got it. Sure. And ma'am, in terms of the capex, if you've done any capex and guidance for this year?
Capex, and see, for us, this is capex, right? Because these are my SPVs in which I'm putting in equity, I'm borrowing funds from the market, and I'm setting up projects which are obviously larger from that perspective. If you're talking about standalone capex in our company, that's more of my routine assets and some plant and machinery that I have for my EPC projects. So if that number, we have already done about 242 crores.
Okay, sure. And lastly, if I can squeeze in, you know, in terms of our project in Bandra and our projects in Delhi, what's the status out there?
Sorry?
Our, land assets of RLDA.
Okay, so as far as Bandra is concerned, that MOU had expired. And there are certain issues in terms of, between the state government, railways and central government in terms of developing that plot. Those issues are still not resolved at a government level or at an inter-ministry level, because of which it is status quo, the entire thing. So we have been pushing railways to give us a decision either ways, one way or the other. And we should be hopefully getting it soon. But as of now, there is no movement.
Got it.
As far as the Bandra plot goes. Now, when you were talking about Delhi, which project are you referring to?
Both the projects, ma'am. The commercial. Commercial one.
Which? Are you talking about our own land or are you talking about an RLDA project?
No, the mall business, you know, which we were supposed
that,
to.
That is working. That we've already given to a company called R-Cube, and we started getting our rentals from there.
Okay, is it fully leased? If you can,
it is fully leased.
And what's the potential out there?
Sorry?
How much are we earning from there?
We are earning about 6 to 7 crores per annum. And we've got some upfront lease premium from there of about 25 crores.
Got it. Okay. Okay, ma'am. Thank you and all the best. That's it from my side.
All right.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Viraj from Jupiter Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, ma'am, for giving me opportunity again. Ma'am, I will reconfirm. So, are you saying that next year we'll have a top line of, say, FY24 top line of 11,000 to 12,000 crores? That will be the growth?
I'm saying we'll be having a top line, assuming that this year it's 9 to 9.5. We'll be having a top line of next year plus 10,000 crores. But I'm not saying whether it will reach 11, 12, that we'll have to see. Because see, ours is an infra project. So it really depends on the execution speed at which we will do the projects. And also, of course, on certain other factors which is at times beyond us. So that's why I'm maintaining that it would be our 10,000 crore plus number.
So is it correct to think, ma'am, like on conservative basis, 10% growth, and on little bit bullish basis, it would be 15% growth? Is that correct to think?
You can say it will be 10 to 15%, yeah.
Okay, ma'am, and this...
For next year.
Yeah, next year. Yeah, and you said next year a lot of our JV income will start coming in. So won't that increase our net margins, is it?
No. What I said was that some of my SPVs have started commercial operations now. Once they stabilize, we do expect them to start giving us profits in a year or two. And many of my SPVs are under construction stage, including JVs. So as and when they get constructed, as and when they get stabilized after COD, then they should all add to my profit. This was regarding someone asking me what is going to be your profitability from these JVs and all. But it is not starting from next year. Most of them are still under construction.
So when we expect that to come in, by next 2-3 years, is it?
Yeah. So three to four years.
3 to 4 years. Okay, ma'am. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranay Khandelwal from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. I just had a bookkeeping sort of question that in quarter three, we see that there's a charge of negative 64 crores related to taxation from previous years. Just wanted to understand what that might be coming from.
Yeah, so we actually won an income tax case for FY 2011-12. And we've actually, you know, got this in our favor and there is no further challenge. So we had provided for this amount and now we are reversing. So therefore my tax is taxation number is at minus 64 odd crores as a previous year tax benefit that I'm getting.
All right. So this is also a one-off sort of thing if we look at the PAT level.
Yes. All
right. All right. No, that will be all. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chiranjeev Desai, a retail investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. So my first question is, there was news regarding proposed merger of Ircon and Rail Vikas Nigam Limited a few months back. So is there any progress regarding that news? And secondly...
We also only heard it in the news and we are also not aware of any other development.
Okay. Secondly, is the board considering buyback of equity shares to arrest the extremely depressed equity market valuation of the company?
No, as of now, as I mentioned, we are planning to plow back our profits for highway, coal JV connectivity projects, renewables, and we are trying to diversify and establish ourselves as well-established players in these businesses. So currently, all my cash is going to go for all these investments. I need to grow.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manoj Sah from Laxco Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to check if you can comment on how's the EBITDA margin in your different segments like railway projects, highway and others, and also the margins on the nomination and the bidding list. How did it?
As far as my, coming to my railway first, whatever I'm deriving my about 90 to 95% of revenue from railway projects. So effectively the margins that you're seeing or what I'm planning to say is going to be maintained is going to come essentially going forward also from my railway business. And therefore the margins are in this level only. And, as regards competition versus nomination, it's a 50-50 order book that we have. In nomination, you do get cost plus. So you are obviously at a lesser risk of some unprecedented cost lowering your margin. But because of the experience and expertise that Ircon has, wherever we picked up competition, we have tried to maintain our margins. So at the most, there may be about a 0.5% difference between the two on an overall basis. And that is the reason we are confidently saying that we will continue to maintain our margins in the next FY as well. In terms of our highway projects, most of them are right now under construction. One or two have started giving me dividend. But in terms of my IRRs, which I calculated at that time, obviously they've all given me decent returns. And I do hope to continue getting those returns. But, you know, that will be spread over the O&M period. So, from a perspective of next FY, I think railways would be a better bet to see from margin perspective. And as we continue to maintain the margins of FY 22 going forward.
Yeah, on railway projects, you will have a better margin compared to higher projects?
No, one cannot say that. Because see, as of now, our highway projects are PPP mode. And our railway projects that we do are more on cost plus or a EPC mode. So, you know, that comparison is difficult to make. So what I'm trying to say is that the IRRs are more relevant in case of PPP projects. Our IRRs are good on the basis of which we bid. But once the construction is done and once the operation phase starts, especially in case of, you know, your toll projects, the toll that you get in, we will have to wait and watch. Based on our own understanding, we should be able to get decent margins out of it. But that would be an IRR concept.
Okay. So in case of highway projects, you are limited to only till the construction?
No. We are a PPP player, right? So we continue for the concession period.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shubham Shukla from Voyager Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm just trying to understand our position in market when it comes to tunneling. Like you said, we take pride in tunneling projects. So we are like the best in the market when it comes to tunneling, or we like trying to build a moat here. Like if we do have a strong position in tunneling, and as we have seen, the government is pushing more infra projects development in J&K, Ladakh, overall border area, which is like majorly in Himalayas and requires like more tunneling. And as we have seen, like 50% of order book comes from nomination. So if there are any new projects relating to tunnel, and if we have good position and expertise in tunneling, we can anticipate the orders coming to us directly based on nomination.
So, you know, there are two things. To begin with, the nomination business has stopped in the ministries or in government. So things would going forward be on competition. When I say that we have expertise, or we've gained expertise because of our J&K project in tunneling, some difficult terrains, etc., this will help us in being more confident in executing similar projects going forward, and it will give us more strength in terms of qualifying for such projects going forward, because, you know, you would have these kind of criteria going forward. So we are building our past track record, or PTR as it's called. So from that perspective, I stand a better chance to win a job. But okay, going forward, jobs would come on competition only.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jainam Shah from Equirus Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead. Mr. Shah, I have unmuted your line. Kindly proceed with your question. As the current participant is not answering, we move on to the next question, which is from the line of Swacha Jain from ANS Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, ma'am. Thanks for giving this opportunity again. Ma'am, I have few clarifications. I think what you said to an earlier participant is the one-off write-off is of 20 crores in standalone, right?
Yeah, there is a one-off write-off of rupees 20 crores in consolidated. And there is a one-off expense provision of rupees 20 crore in standalone.
Okay. So if I look at the standalone, so if I even add back this one-off to core EBITDA of 128 crores, still our EBITDA margins are lower than previous quarter. So, you know, just want to understand, even after the, you know, if I don't consider the one-off, why we have a lower EBITDA margin in this quarter?
You are saying for the standalone?
Standalone, yeah.
The 626.57, 9 months number?
No, Q3, if I look at this quarter.
Okay, if you're looking at this quarter, if you add to my EBITDA of 221, another 20 is 241.
No, our standalone core EBITDA is 128 crores. If I add 20 crores to that, it is 148 crores, right? So
yeah,
the core EBITDA margin comes to 6.5%.
Yeah, see, the point is, this is, you know, ours is an execution project which has a different, you know, there would be projects where I would be probably booking lesser margins now and going forward, because there would be a lot of provision entries that one does and then one writes them back or vice versa. So that 0.5% margin here and there on a core EBITDA levels will be difficult to explain. And especially if you compare it to my, if you compare it to my Q3 FY22, it's fine. But if you compare to Q2 FY23, then there again I had some extraordinary one-off profit number sitting for some time.
Right.
You know, these are execution projects. That is the reason I'm saying on an overall perspective, you could compare it to my annual numbers.
Right, understood. Yeah. And other thing, ma'am, so far during the call, a lot of people have asked about FY24 guidance, you know, for revenue numbers. So I think what I heard is, you know, once we mentioned 5 to 6% growth, then we also mentioned 10 to 15% growth.
See, actually what is happening is, I'm assuming a number of 9 to 9,500 this year. It really depends on what we'll clock this year.
Right.
If you're talking of a 9,000 number this year, then 10% would be about 10,000 next year. Yeah, so that is why I've been again and again saying that let's not get into the percentage. Mm-hmm. I am 9 to 9,500 this year and I'm at 10,000 plus next year.
Okay.
Now, it could really vary from that 5 to 10 depending on what the...
Got it, ma'am. Okay, so my last question is now, you said that we are not consciously bidding for a lot of projects right now. That's why we're not able to add new orders, right? Because
there are not so many projects
right
we were consciously not bidding.
Understood. So that is acceptable. So just hypothetically, if I were to assume that, you know, we are going to bid for new orders. So if you could give some sense as to how is the competition, you know, if you were to bid today for new projects, how tough is the competition now?
So, you know, again, it really depends on the category. While railways itself may sound as a one category, there would be station development contracts. There would be normal track laying contracts. And there would be smaller size contracts which may be taken out at zonal railway, and there could be bigger contracts which could be connecting more, you know, it could be distance wise more, or it could be geologically more challenging area. So for me, or even for that matter, even outside of India, you know, you could have Exim Bank and MEA finance projects or otherwise also. So what I'm trying to say is that there are certain areas where I stand a lesser chance of competition because either the project size is big or it has some niche requirements which not very many players will have. IRCON's had that execution experience over the years, and we've tried to increase that diversification of our experience in the last few years by taking on bullet trains, by doing that JNK project, etc. So in those areas, I think I should be comfortable. There should be lesser number of competitors and I should be able to maintain good margins. But where I have to compete in small ticket, normal station development kind of jobs, there may be many small time players. And probably it may not give us the kind of, I mean, either I'll have to squeeze onto my margins to get that kind of jobs, or I will have to let go of those jobs. However, having said that, overall the targets are huge in terms of the infrastructure spend. So the area where we need to focus and get our jobs and continue to get our maintainable margins, we feel those jobs will be coming out soon. And that is where we will try to win, get those jobs with lesser competition.
So we are confident to add this order book as and when these kind of orders
as
come.
And when these kind of jobs come. So I don't want to just pick up jobs for the sake of announcing that instead of 30,000, now it's 40,000 or 50,000, knowing very well that those jobs will not result into profits or very, very low margins.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we are trying to do right now. But of course, it's an ever-evolving market. It's a dynamic market. So we'll have to see. Otherwise, we'll have to play the volumes game, pick up a lot of such jobs and continue to maintain our margins from a volume perspective.
Right. Yeah. Right. Understood. And this 6,200 crores order of bullet train which you were mentioning, that is included in 38,000 crore of order book, right?
Yes.
Okay, and this is executable over how many years?
5 to 6 years.
About 4 to 5 years.
Bullet train.
This
right?
is a fairly complicated project,
Understood. Okay, ma'am. Thank you so much. Really appreciate
it. Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranay Khandelwal from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question again. I just wanted to understand when this bidding process happens, And just what are the criteria on which this is decided that who gets the award? Is it just on the cost basis as in the amount you have bid for, or there are other criteria involved as well?
Are you asking for the bids that we take for having our contractors, or are you asking from a revenue perspective the bids that we participate in?
From what you participate in.
Mostly it is on cost.
So what happens is there are certain criteria which are built in terms of saying that, you know, this is being offered or a bid is being invited to players who have had this much kind of turnover, this kind of balance sheet size, net worth, profit. Then it says, it may say that you've had experience of doing these many kilometers of rail line, tunneling in case it's required, or a bridge. All that gets covered in a BQC or a PTR. And then after that, whosoever qualifies with such kind of potentials, only they are called in for a L1 kind of a bidding. Mm-hmm. That's one way. The second is where there are, especially internationally when we look at projects, there could also be a QCBS kind of an arrangement where there's a weightage given to your technical specs as well.
Hmm.
And third could be run-of-the-mill projects where everyone with very basic criteria, everyone can bid and the L1 gets it. So there are all these categories.
Hmm. And we are looking to majorly go for the first two one time.
First two categories, yes.
Yeah.
Third is also good as long as, it is a larger scale project. And something which involves bridges, tunnels, etc. We've had L1 wins, out of our order book of 30,000 crore, 50% is from competition. And we've had those wins from L1 concept only.
I guess I just wanted to understand if not just anyone can come in and just throw in a very ridiculous bid and get the order. There are some criteria.
For very very run-of-the-mill, small-size projects, even that can happen, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how competition... And yeah, you may be right. I mean, those people may eventually not be able to execute or not execute it properly or may fail midway. But, that really depends on what kind of project and who is actually taking out the tender.
Mm. All right.
For Aircon being a government company, obviously when we take up a project, we make sure that it's executed properly. I think that's where we take a pride in. So that's something we'll never ever compromise on.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manoj Saw from Luxco Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you again for the opportunity, ma'am. Just wanted to get a little clarity on the highway project. Like, you have got 9 SPVs. Can you give a sense that how much equity you have put in the SPVs? These are long gestation projects, 25-30 year kind of it. We have in that whole concession period, so on kind of it. So how much equity of your total highway?
So for my highway projects, I have a total committed equity of about 600 crores.
Okay.
Out of which, not 600, it is 600 plus 1900. Ye bhi lenge na, equity.
Yes, yes.
So about 2500 crores, 2000 crores. Out of 2000 crores, I have put in about 1100 to 1200 crores. 800, 900 odd crore I still have to put, no?
Okay. And since you will get a toll collection over a period like 25-30 year kind of that, so what is the thought process of getting into these kind of rather than just constructing and then moving on kind of a builder to highway, rather than getting into projects where you have to over a period of 25-30 year collect the toll revenue and that's how you will make money over the period?
Sorry, I didn't get your question. Could you repeat? It was, your voice was muffled.
Sir, I would request you to use your handset, so your voice is really muffled.
Okay. I'm saying that since these are long gestation periods where you get a concessor of 25-30 years, you will collect money through the toll revenues, okay? And so what's the rationale of getting into these kind of projects rather than just construct a highway and then move on, use the capital to bid for the new project and enter a new highway project kind of it? Instead of getting into these kind of concession projects?
There are two things. The first thing is that these are not just toll projects, these are toll as well as annuity based projects. Okay, so and it really depends on how NHAI wants these projects to be. So per se, these are the two active models they've been using, toll and AM. So it is not for us to decide what we want to do. It is for the highway projects, the way they come out is how we go. The returns are attractive. The construction period still remains 2 to 3 years, after which you get a proper annuity or a toll as the case may be. In terms of whether we would like to continue in these projects or after a particular point monetize them so yes. that we can get out our money and start using for other projects, yes. We are preliminarily started looking into those aspects. And let's see, we would be hiring some specialists to guide us to take this forward.
Yeah, because some of the toll road companies, construction companies, they are monetized to the in this kind of structure.
Yes, we are also preparing ourselves to take those steps.
And what are the target IRR that you keep for these projects?
13 to 14%.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Srimati Ragini Advani, Director of Finance, IRCON International Limited, for closing comments. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Ms. Mamta, for moderating the call. And thanks to the Perfect Relations for organizing this call. I would also like to thank all our shareholders, business partners, analysts, and investor friends who have shown continued faith on us and supported us throughout our journey. We would also be happy to connect with you on a one-to-one basis if required for any further queries and take it forward. As to conclude, we are fairly confident of our results and we do continue to maintain our revenue lines as well as margins. I request everyone now to, as a concluding measure, to feel free to discuss anything with us if required for greater clarity. And here's wishing everyone a healthy and a safe day today and always. Thank you once again. And I think by this, I would like to call off from here.
Thank you, ma'am. On behalf of IRCON International Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.